Hello, and thanks for joining Wicker Park Lutheran Church Sermons. Wicker Park Lutheran Church is a diverse ELCA Lutheran congregation in the Wicker Park neighborhood of Chicago. We gather at 10 a.m. to fully live into our incarnational faith as we experience God's presence in the gathered assembly, and we welcome you to join us. In just a moment, you'll first hear with a gospel reading from the associated sermon for the service that you're about to listen to. We hope that that gospel gives you some context before you jump right into the sermon. Thanks for checking us out, and we hope to see you soon.
Hear now the words of the Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 10th chapter. Now at that time, the festival of the dedication took place in Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was walking in the temple in the portico of Solomon. So the religious authorities gathered around him and said to him, How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Messiah, tell us plainly. Jesus answered, I have told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name testify to me, but you do not believe because you do not belong to my sheep. My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. What my Father has given me is greater than all else, and no one can snatch it out of the Father's hand. The Father and I are one. This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you.
Good morning. Wonderful to be with you today for lots of reasons, not the least of which is this fabulous music. Thank you so much, musicians, for everything. It's really wonderful. Wonderful to be with you on a great festival, a great celebration in your life together. Wow! 140 years old. Truthfully, there are not very many congregations in this synod anymore where I can go and say, you are twice as old as I am. But you are twice as old as I am. So, you know, it's hard to imagine, really, when you just step back and think about it, that when this congregation was settling into its first worship services, Rutherford B. Hayes was president of the United States, having just succeeded Ulysses Grant in that office. The first mobile home was built that year, towed from one place to another by a team of either very strong or very tired horses. But help was on the way, because it's also true that in 1879, George Selden filed the first patent for a gasoline-driven automobile. It was a big year in musical theater that year. As it happens that the premier performances of Gilbert and Sullivan hits HMS Pinafore and the Pirates of Penzance both happened in the same year. And a man named Richard Rhodes invented the first hearing aid in 1879, something which I suppose might have been helpful for some of your first preachers. And milk. Milk was sold in glass bottles for the very first time. Do any of you remember when milk was sold in glass bottles? It's interesting, isn't it, to think on a day like today, to just think back for a few minutes about all of the history that, whether you know it or not, you carry in your bones. In fact, it's also a day for me personally where I get to think a little bit about some of the history that I carry in my bones as I prepare tomorrow to celebrate my 35th anniversary of ordination, and also as I look now at retiring as the Synod Bishop, you're actually listening to what will doubtless be my last sermon as the Bishop of this Synod, an event that, like with you, I think, could be provoking a whole lot of questions. Questions like, now what? Or, what next? Which, curiously enough, brings me to what it is that I really want to talk today about today, Because today, I find myself wondering, wondering how long I could keep you in suspense before you either got up and left the room or started throwing something at me to make sure that I was still awake. It's amazing, really, just how long and just how uncomfortable one little minute can seem when you are there in that place called suspense. And yet, to be honest with you, this is an experience that's well known to almost all of us in many areas of our lives. I mean, suspense is the feeling that you have at that moment just after you have said, "Will you," with the diamond ring still in your hand, wondering if the next word you hear will be yes or no. But then, a few years later, suspense is what you feel when you kiss your daughter goodbye and send her off to college, wondering as you gaze lovingly at her purple hair and that body all pierced and bejeweled in the most interesting places, wondering what sort of person this will become. Suspense is what you feel at the end of a long overseas flight, just after you hear the engines cut off and just before the wheels touch the ground and suddenly the passengers break into spontaneous applause for reasons unknown. Suspense is what you feel at that moment when you call the doctor's office for your test results, just after the nurse says, "Hold on, please. The doctor would like to speak with you." And even in our life together as a church now, there are so many congregations that live in that terrible moment when there is so little money and so much responsibility. When everyone went to church all the time, those days are long since gone and behind us. We live every day, as Joseph Sittler used to say, with both feet planted firmly in midair, in that place only known as suspense. However it comes to you, you see, suspense is that awful moment when wisdom and learning, security and certainty are all swallowed up in the great cloud of unknowing, when time and movement and breath itself all stop. And in that instant, now becomes eternity. So suspense, you see, also calls us relentlessly forward. If for no other reason than that staying in the suspense is utterly unbearable. And yet, we love it. We do. We love suspense. Like moths to the flame, we run to our bookstores and libraries and Kindles, all filled with acres and acres of volumes labeled suspense. Our eyes are drawn irresistibly to masterpiece mysteries and endlessly proliferating reincarnations of Sherlock Holmes and the diagnostic conundrums of House M.D., all of which are required to suspend us for as long as possible to the very end, because after all, who wants a suspense with no suspense? In the end, it would seem that suspense is the very thing that theologian Rudolf Otto had in mind many years ago as the mysterium tremendum et fascinans, the mystery that terrifies but also fascinates. The religious authorities in today's gospel selection, of course, wanted none of this. Well, why should they? They were authorities. They were used to being the ones who knew, the ones with answers, not questions, the ones who carried comfortably the vocation to solve all the mysteries, to assemble all the puzzles, to reduce the complexities, to reconcile the ambiguities. For them, the idea of suspense might have been terrifying, but it was hardly fascinating. And they had little patience and no trust for a teacher, for this Jesus who would leave them hanging there with both feet planted in midair. How long? How long will you keep us in suspense? But Jesus would not quite let them down from that place in the air. Perhaps because this teacher who taught with more questions than answers and who spun parables that so often seem more perplexing than elucidating, perhaps because this teacher knew that it was precisely the stillness and discomfort of that place of suspense that might force them at last to stop and listen. To listen for a voice not quite audible in the world of noise and motion and busyness and self-sufficiency. Perhaps he understood that it was precisely in the stillness of that moment of suspense that they might hear and recognize the voice that patiently and persistently calls us back to who we are and why we are here in the first place. So you see, this same voice calls to you here, sisters and brothers, right now. Speaking to you as it once spoke to them in your moments of suspense, when you cannot rely on your own wisdom or understanding, your own capacities and resources, your own certainty or vision. It is just here that you are most free at last to listen and then to respond to the voice that calls you back into remembrance of the cornerstone set in place at the beginning, that most basic identity given to you on the day of your baptism, that foundation of truth in every single time and every single place, that all that I am and all that I have comes by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. All that I am and all that I have comes by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. And in the echo of that still small voice, you are also set free to follow the relentless but exhilarating call forward. The call forward into the work of inviting others who are still living in suspense into a deeper and closer relationship with this God through the love of Jesus, walking by the way of the cross. It is a voice that reminds us again and again that despite all our efforts to reduce the paradox, to know the unknowable, or to settle all the questions once and for all, there has never been a time in the historical bones of this church This church that lives suspended between the God who walked among us and the God who will come to restore us, there has never been a time when we have not been in suspense. There has only been the steady voice and the strong arm of the one who does not come to keep us out of suspense, but who comes to keep us when we are in the suspense. It's a worthy remembrance, people of Wicker Park. It's a worthy remembrance on this day. As you celebrate 140 years of walking through two world wars and new hopes for peace, through a Great Depression and a financial meltdown, through political leadership with the audacity to hope and political leadership with the audacity to tweet, and then to keep us all in a little bit more suspense than we were really hoping for. Through times of joy and sorrow, plenty and want, energy and discouragement, grief and rebirth. 140 years of returning to this lovely dwelling place of stillness, week after week, month after month, year after year, for a brand new, fresh encounter with the now that is eternity. Because it's in this remembrance, it's in this listening, that you will rediscover the love that has embraced you completely, exactly as you are. But then also a voice that is calling you relentlessly to leave the warmth and security of that embrace once in a while, to re-enter this world of occasional terror and constant fascination, that world of wonder and mystery, of adventure and possibility, in order to become something more than you have ever been before. Amen.